99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
The weekly one-hour show.
Wow.
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator cage-side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, on the free WNML mobile app, on your smart speakers, wherever you happen to be. Thank you so much for listening. Coming to you on a Thursday night, a special Thursday night, because of Tennessee women's basketball conflicts on the home of both the men's and women's sports at UT, 99.1, the Sports Animal. I'm Vince Ferrara. Appreciate you joining us here as we talk MMA for an hour each week. My partner in crime, he is the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. Sharing his insight each week is Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. It's a doubleheader event for us this weekend, but I'm excited to stop in here and talk about an awesome card we've got coming up this weekend. Not a great card last weekend, but those are the kind of cards that that make this weekend feel all the better.
Absolutely. And that's what Tim's talking about, is the UFC. Also great card in line for Valor Fighting Challenge. We will talk about that, as they've got two shows this week, one in Knoxville and one in Chattanooga. So we'll preview that for those of you that want to see some regional MMA and Muay Thai. We'll get into that. Also, how about Megan Anderson? Interview on the show today, as she is fighting the GOAT, Amanda Nunes, for her featherweight championship co-main event at UFC 259 in Vegas pay-per-view. Megan Anderson is fighting on it, and she joins us in about 15 minutes. How about that? Here on In the Cage MMA Radio, as we continue to give you UFC fighters and great interviews on the show. Plus, we're going to look back on UFC Vegas 20 last week, winners and losers, and much more. Let's dive in here in this first segment with our big three stories from the sport, and we'll start with a review of UFC Vegas 20 last Saturday. The main event, Ciryl Gane defeated Jairzinho Rozenstruik, unanimous decision, 50-45 on all three judges' scorecards. This was a mismatch in the heavyweight division. Tim, didn't live up to the hopes, I'm sure, in terms of the entertainment standpoint, but it was one-sided for sure by Ciryl Gane. And with that physique, with that reach, his athleticism, Rozenstruik didn't look like he was all that interested in taking some chances. He didn't, so he got whooped and dominated, even though I went the distance.
Yeah, man. I mean, I thought that, Gane fought a very smart game plan. It wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing. It wasn't a fight that was a thriller or will be remembered for any positive reasons. But at the same time, Gane really wasn't interested in giving Rozenstruik the one avenue that he had to victory. And Rozenstruik's a counter striker, and Gane wasn't going to give anything to counter. He stayed at length, stayed at range the entire time, and just kind of pot shotted him with one at a time. He didn't really put together combinations and let Rozenstruik have a chance to counter. And as such, we get kind of a boring fight out of it. But, Dana wasn't really impressed. You could tell afterward, he said, he won. We'll just leave it at that. So I don't think he made a whole lot of fans here, but at the same time, he kept his record undefeated. And now he'll kind of be there on the fringes of that top five still. I don't think he's getting a title fight after that, but he should still get another big fight. For Rozenstruik, it's a really tough loss. He didn't push the action. Even when he was down, obviously down rounds, going into the fourth and fifth round, he's not going to win a decision at this point. He still wasn't going for it,
Gane actually moved up three spots to number four. Still behind your boy, Curtis Blaydes, by the way.
Yeah, that's a little surprising to me, honestly. Yeah. But, you know, those guys are kind of in the same boat, just the opposite. You know, Blades likes to wrestle and Gon likes to, you know, stay at a technical distance and not really engage in crazy firefights. But, you know, at the end of the day, he still comes out okay. He's only 8-0. It's not a whole lot of experience in the UFC to be where he's placed himself at this point.
Yeah, I think Blades has a little bit more in the bank to fall back on after his loss. Gon's still so young in his career. And look, if you match those two up when neither one of them are very entertaining to watch, or at least they weren't their last time. I don't know if Ciryl Gane is going to fight that way every time, but he came out of there completely unscathed. And he was talking about, hey, if there's a fill-in, someone backs out, I'll jump in there on short notice. I get that. But man, you still at some point for that division, fans want to see you put yourself in a little bit of harm's way to see a spectacular finish. And he's not one that I think is going to help himself until he starts taking some of those chances, even if it is a smart game plan to get W's.
Yeah, you know, I think until he's able to, you know, be a little more marketable, he's not going to find himself in a title fight. You know, I don't think that he's like rushing towards that either. You know, it's not like he's really calling for a title fight either. Right. I'd like to see him and Alexander Volkov next. You know, Volkov just got the win over Overeem, looked really good there. Won a couple in a row, and he's a guy that may force Gon into fighting a little different style there. The length and reach of Volkov would be complete game changer. He wouldn't be able to stay at range. He wouldn't have the advantages there.
The co-main event, Magomed and Kalayev defeated Nikita Krylov. Unanimous decision, 29-28 on all three judges' scorecards. Light heavyweight win for Ankalaev. Krylov maybe surprised people by winning that first round, and then Ankalaev really controlled those last two and did it more on the ground. I don't think that was really necessarily his intention. It's just kind of the way the fight played out. But Tim, don't you think that actually kind of helped him? They showed more well-rounded attack to be able to adjust and still come out on top?
Yeah, Ankalaev's the real deal, man. I think he could potentially be a title contender. I don't think I'm premature in saying that. He's just showed a lot of great fight IQ out there to be able to adjust his game, a lot of well-roundedness. And Krylov's tough. You know, Krylov really brought it to him in the first round, but he expended a lot of energy doing so. And so he started to slow down a little bit. Ankalaev able to take him to the ground and get those last two rounds.
For the rest of the main card, I actually thought that the main event was either fourth or fifth in terms of entertainment on that main card out of those five fights. The best one was the UFC's fight of the night, and that was Pedro Munhoz and Jimmy Rivera. The way Munhoz absolutely chopping the trees in the forest of Jimmy Rivera, then Rivera still being dangerous and fighting through that, amazing. Munhoz 30-27 on two judges' scorecards, 29-28 in the other, and that absolute bantamweight war. What'd you make of that one?
Man, those calf kicks, they're brutal. Munhoz had a great attack here for Rivera. And before the end of the first round was even over, Rivera's legs were gone. So it really is a testament to his toughness and grit that he just kind of kept coming and was never really – he was definitely losing the fight. I don't think there was any question about that, but he was never out of the fight because he was so dangerous, still throwing really high heat back at Munhoz, even in the third round, really going for it. So nice showing for both guys, really great win for Munhoz, but Rivera still showed a lot of heart, a lot of grit, and I'm sure won a lot of fans.
All right, last thing off of that card, the most exciting thing for us to watch, and hopefully a lot of fight fans around the area, was Ronnie Lawrence in the absolute clinic he put together in beating Vince Cachero, third round TKO in a bantamweight, absolutely spectacular win. Break this down and what you saw from Ronnie.
It was just really as close to a flawless victory as you could have hoped for in your UFC debut. Cachero was tough, man. He was constantly scrambling. He was never like settling for the position, but Ronnie just scrambled faster. He was always a step ahead. He always, was anticipating the next move, hit a lot of great slams, a lot of great takedowns, suplexes, showed off some great striking, just a lot of high energy, high output, nonstop action from Ronnie Lawrence, who was humble in his victory. He said he just wanted to get better. So, man, on a card that was lacking in finishes, this being the only one, I think that really helped him stand out.
Yeah, Ronnie talking about how his striking should have been better, but he was still very effective, flashy with strikes, and goodness, I mean, he showed tenacity, ability to adjust. That mentality is why he's good as he is, and he's only going to continue to get better because he's never satisfied, and the elite athletes have that trait.
And you can tell that the promotion's high on him, and that's the biggest thing. The UFC likes him, you know, which means he's going to be put in nice spots. He's going to be matched appropriately to be able to show off his skills and get those nice feature spots, you know, as he rises up.
Man, we had Ronnie on the show last week, and we'll get him back on before long to kind of reflect on that. But so cool to hear Bisping and Felder just raving about him the entire fight. That stuff is awesome. All right, let's get to our number two winners and losers from USC Vegas 20. List your winner and loser quickly, and then I'll run through my winner and loser after that.
Yeah, my winner, I'm just going to stay with Ronnie Lawrence here. You know, he's the only fighter to get a finish on this card. He got a performance bonus in his first UFC fight. The promotion loves him. Just a great performance, no damage. And he's a guy that I think is really going to reap some benefits from that win. My loser, there's a few to choose from, but I am going to go with Miss Sabina Mazo. She was a pretty heavy favorite over Alexis Davis on the undercard. And she was the fighter that the promotion was kind of trying to push here at the expense of the bet. And didn't show any grappling acumen, ended up on her back too often. Not enough tools in the bag right now.
I'm going to go with two different ones. I'm going to go with Magomed Ankalaev as my winner. You know, we talked about him moving up in the rankings four spots and showing a complete game and ability to adjust within a fight. And then as far as loser, it's Jairzinho Rozenstruik. To me, he didn't sell out like he wanted to win that fight. I think that's going to dock him. I think he's going to have a tough time getting back in the mix. So I think that was a bad performance for him at UFC Vegas 20. He's my loser. All right, number three, Valor Fighting Challenge two show weekend. Tim, tell fight fans about what's going on with Valor Fighting Challenge this week.
Yeah, we start things off this Friday night. It's Valor 79. It's at the Cotton Eye Joe here in Knoxville. It is an amateur showcase. It's a huge card, a lot of fights. And these amateur shows are a lot of fun. Two titles on the line. Got our 155 title up for grabs. Parker Wadman taking on Brandon McGee. And our 170 title, our champion Carter Beatman defends against Samaj Portis from Ohio. The next day is going to be the Hyder Cup for the grappling enthusiasts out there. There's a quartet-style team grappling tournament, plus a combat jiu-jitsu tournament as well. A whole lot of fun stuff going on. That's at Agogi Combatives down there in Chattanooga. And you can catch tickets to either at FighterTicksForTheNext.com, or you can watch either pay-per-view at BFCMMA.com, where you can check our social media for the links.
I'll be on the call on Friday night. Looking forward to that being case.
That's right.
So we will visit with Megan Anderson, who is fighting Amanda Nunes, the GOAT, for her UFC featherweight championship in the co-main event at UFC 259's pay-per-view on Saturday. We will talk to Megan Anderson from Vegas next here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
I'm on an island, even when you're close.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Vince Ferrara, Tim Lohr will rejoin us in just a little bit. It's interview time here on the show, and we are so excited about our next guest who joins us from Las Vegas, preparing to fight in the UFC 259 pay-per-view co-main event. She is challenging Amanda Nunes for her UFC featherweight champion. She's a former Invicta FC featherweight champion, and you can see her on the main card starting at 10 p.m. on pay-per-view on ESPN Plus, prelims at 8 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Plus, and then the early prelims of UFC 259 start at 6 p.m. on the UFC Fight Pass. How about Megan Anderson joining us right now on the show? Hey, Megan, pleasure to talk to you. Vince Ferrara here in Knoxville. How are you, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So obviously this fight was supposed to happen in December. You haven't fought in, I guess, just over a year during this whole COVID and pandemic thing. Where's your nerve / excitement / just desire to get back in the octagon with all this time?
I don't know. I'm feeling good. I don't really have a lot of nerves. I don't really get nervous. I just kind of like to stay pretty chill, laid back, play video games. and I'll get a little bit nervous on fight day, obviously. Yeah, I'm just ready. It's been a long time. It's been a long camp, so we're ready to get in there.
I know you've put in a lot of work at Glory MMA and Fitness in Kansas City. How's your camp gone?
Yeah, I've been asking for a fight since April of last year. So I was training. I was like preparing to get into camp since April. I fought in the end of February. So I took a little bit of time off. And by taking time off, like I still did classes. I just didn't go live. Obviously, when we were able to during the initial lockdown, I was only doing one-on-one sessions with my coaches. So, but as soon as everything kind of opened up again, and I'm still training and waiting for a fight. And then at the start of August is when they called us with the Amanda fight. So we were training and we were preparing to get into fight camp. So it was, you know, it wasn't too hard to switch over to fight mode.
So why was Glory MMA and Fitness the right camp for you?
Well, I've been here for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, when I first came here, I came to fight for Invicta, which is based out of Kansas City. And my mm-hmm. management at the time also managed James, my coach. So that was how I got connected to Glory. You know, I trained a little bit with them afterwards. And, you know, James has a very similar style to me, but it's very long. We have a, you know, we're different in some ways, but we also have a lot of similarities. So he was a, you know, it was just a great fit for us and particularly for me as a fighter and coach.
We're visiting with Megan Anderson, featherweight contender. She will challenge Amanda Nunes for her UFC featherweight championship at UFC 259. You can get that on pay-per-view and watch it on ESPN Plus prelims and early prelims as well on the app also. Where are some of the things that you feel like and you're confident in that size being taller and bigger can be an advantage against Nunes? Sometimes it's an advantage and sometimes it's not. Why are you confident that that can really help you in this fight?
Yeah, I have a very good ability to dictate range mm-hmm. And control range. And I think that's going to be a huge factor in this fight. I also have a lot of power. And, you know, not only do I have a lot of power in my hands, like I also have, you know, my kicks and my knees and my elbows, which, you know, pose a, you know, a big threat as well. I think that range, a lot of people don't really understand it. They prepare for it, but until they get in there, they don't really understand until they feel it. And you know, that's when we get a lot of people trying to force takedowns and stuff like that, which isn't necessarily a good night, you know, particularly when I've got those knees, I've got those elbows for the close range. So I think the range definitely poses a big threat.
Do you see holes in Amanda Nunes's game that no one has been able to take advantage of in past fights at all?
I think Jermaine Duranemi did a very good job of taking advantage of the clinch position, particularly the tie clinch position. Duranemi did a phenomenal job of controlling Amanda with a certain type of tie clinch, and she was able to have some success there. You know, obviously Amanda's not going to let that happen, but, you know, I'm also a different fighter to Jermaine. So there is that. I think also, you know, Amanda is, she's phenomenal at being a hammer, but she's not very good at being a nail just because she's never really put in those positions. So that's what we're looking to do, is to put her in those positions and you know, see how she deals with adversity.
Visiting with former Invicta FC featherweight champion and now challenger for Amanda Nunes' UFC featherweight championship, Megan Anderson, joining us. You can see that fight, the co-main event, and all of the great fights at the UFC pay-per-view on ESPN+. Megan, you had mentioned on the Countdown show that aired that at one point you had a bag of clothes and $1,000 to your name. Take us through that period, when it was, and how you were able to bust through that and bounce back.
That was when I first moved to the States. I didn't know where I was going to live, didn't know how I was going to afford food. I remember going to a Walmart for the first time and having a slight panic attack because I didn't realize tax was excluded off of the price. So like in Australia, like if it's $19.99, like at the, you know, when you're paying for it, it's $19.99. Whereas here it's like, if it says $19.99, you have to add tax onto that, which I didn't know. I remember thinking, oh my God, I don't have this, like what, what? So, you know, honestly, just, I don't know. I've just refused to give up, no matter what challenge was thrown at me, no matter what adversity, no matter what period of self-doubt, of whatever. I just, giving up was never an option.
When you first got into the sport, who were some of the fighters that you most looked up to and really respected in the sport?
Yeah, Rob Whitaker, obviously one of them. Alex Volkanovski. I remember I fought on a local card with Alex right before he got signed to the UFC. I've been following his career for a long time. Dan Hooker, Brad Riddell, like all those guys that have been around the Australian scene for so long. And I've been watching them for a long, long time. So it's kind of been really cool to watch their careers and now, you know, follow in their footsteps in flying the Australian flag.
Who do you think wins the main event, Adesanya or Blachowicz?
I got Izzy.
Yeah, you mentioned Hooker, and that reminded me of him. Obviously, with your size advantage, what do you normally walk around at? Then what do you have to cut in this final fight week? And then what will you rehydrate at, do you think?
Rehydration-wise, it's hard to tell because it's different every fight. I walk around 165, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, just depending on how much I eat. This fight week is actually the lightest I've ever come into fight week, but I also haven't made 145 pounds even since January of 2017. So we didn't want to make it too difficult because it is a hard cut for me. And it's been a hard cut for me to make 146 pounds. So we wanted to make it as easy as possible, not having that pound limit. So I've also had some horrible weight cuts. So I don't want to do those again. Oh my God. I don't think people realize, like, you know, that documentary that Chris brought out about her making 140 pounds, that's me making 145, like, wow. If, for the reference. Yeah, it's not easy, but it works somehow. So that's one thing that we adjusted to is not having the pound allowance, like coming in a little lighter. I don't feel any depleted, anything. I feel amazing despite being so low, and I think rehydration-wise, it really just depends. Each fight is different.
Last thing, Megan, really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this. But so when they announce a new UFC featherweight champion, and obviously that'll send shockwaves, why will that happen? How do you get there?
Yeah, I can visualize the fight a lot. I can see the fight playing out in a lot of different ways. Both of us are going to bring out the best in each other, and it's going to make for an exciting fight. But it's time for a new era and a new queen, if you will, of the featherweight division.
Awesome. You can see the UFC 259 pay-per-view main card starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Plus, then early prelims and prelims as well. Megan, thank you so much. All the best to you on Saturday, and we'll be watching. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
That is Megan Anderson. Awesome treat to bring to you here each week as we talk to another UFC fighter preparing you for this weekend's card in the UFC. We will do that in even more detail as we'll preview the entire UFC 259 fight card. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal. With Tim Loy, I am Vince Ferrara. Preview segment time. We're going to get to that in 1 second. But first, Tim, I want to get your thoughts on what you heard from my one-on-one interview with Megan Anderson before her co-main event fight against the GOAT, Amanda Nunes.
She seems confident, you know, seems like she, you know, believes in her advantages that she has in this fight. And it was very interesting to hear some of her backstory. So good chat, Vince.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I thought she got a little emotional kind of reflecting back on her time when she first moved to the States and barely had any money and just reflected on that and how tough it was for her. But man, fighters are resilient and they find a way, and she certainly has. And what an opportunity now. Real quick, want to remind you can get our podcast short shortly after our show is up, we will post our podcast anywhere you get your podcast, iTunes, Google, Spotify. Just subscribe to In the Cage MMA Radio. You can listen to it there. Subscribe, share, rate it. Make sure you never miss a show. We'd love for you to listen each week on the show, airing on Thursday night this week because of conflicts with Lady Vols basketball. And that might be the case over the next few weeks. So just check in with us on social media, Tim Loy on Facebook, and hit me up on Twitter at Vint Sports, and also at Sports Radio WNML for updates on when our show might air. And then also on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, you can go to the audio tab or the show tab, and you can get all the archive shows there for you. It is UFC 259 preview time, and the main event is champ versus champ, Tim. Jan Blachowicz defending his light heavyweight title against middleweight champion Israel Adesanya. Adesanya undefeated at 20-0. Jan Blachowicz at 27-8. Putting his title on the line. Israel Adesanya, minus 240 favorite from the last I saw. Tim, break this one down. How do you see this in this light heavyweight bout, which it sounds like maybe Israel won't even get to that weight, will be under, which would be interesting.
Yeah, he's gone on record saying he's going to be under 200 pounds for this fight. That doesn't surprise me. You know, his speed is going to be one of his main advantages here, obviously, against Blachowicz. It's a good fight, man. I'm excited for it. I think that Adesanya is going to likely pick him apart over the course of five rounds and go and win a decision here using that length, using that speed, the in and out. And he's so hard to take down. I saw a stat where out of like 135 minutes of octagon time, he's only spent like 3 total minutes on his back. It's just like impossible to keep this guy down. And so I think even if Blachowicz is able to get those takedowns, that he's going to have a really hard time keeping him down. Eventually that type of pace and that type of attack is going to get tiresome. And we could see a late stoppage potentially from Adesanya, but I want to go with the decision. Blachowicz is certainly live. He's very powerful. If he lands, he could do something, but I have a hard time seeing him be able to take advantage of Adesanya on the ground.
What do you think of the line minus 240 for Israel?
I don't like the line, really. It's kind of steep, I think, but I don't think that the comeback is enticing enough to get me on Blachowicz either, you know? So, you know, I guess I still would lean towards Adesanya maybe as a parlay piece.
So do you have any concern about Adesanya transferring, moving up in weight class, maybe some of the sting in his punches and strikes carrying over into that division? Any concern about that?
That's certainly a possibility. And I don't think that he just goes out there and flatlines Blachowicz. Right. You know, I think it'll be more an accumulation slash fatigue beginning to set in late in the rounds. I do think it'll take a little bit more for him to be able to translate at 205, that power.
Well, you said it perfectly at the very beginning. Pick him apart. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I see it. I would lay the minus 240. I'm so confident in Izzy. I know he's moving up, but to me, it doesn't matter because he is so skilled. He is impossible, like you said, to take down and to touch the defense. His intelligence, his fight IQ. I just don't think Blachowicz is on his level. And I don't think he'll be able to make contact with being live with the strike. So I like Israel Adesanya there as well. Everybody, Vegas, every line you see is a massive number for the champ, Amanda Nunes at 20-4, defending her UFC featherweight champion against Megan Anderson, who joined us last segment here on the show, 10-4, the former Invicta FC featherweight champion. First of all, what do you think of the line at minus 1200? Where does that stand compared to some of the other numbers we've seen going into UFC fights?
Yeah, it's much too high to mess around with, you know, especially with the uncertainty of Nunes. Coming into this fight with a decently long layoff, you know, her and Nina Ansaroff have got a child now. So that kind of makes her training and sleep schedule kind of wonky, you know, I'm sure. So I think there's a few unknowns. I still think she is and should be an overwhelming favorite here. But I think the better path here is to play the over 1.5 at minus 120, more of a pick 'em type line, and hope that Anderson can kind of, you know, stay in there with her for a little bit because, you know, you just spoke to Megan Anderson and she's, it seems like she's prepared to go in there. Let's ride.
Yeah, and interesting. She has not gone to the judges' scorecards with a victory since 2017. She's gone a couple of times when she's come on the short end, but most of her fights end prior to the judges getting involved. And she hasn't fought in a year. Her last two wins were both first round finishes. So we'll see what the gas tank says. She will be the much bigger fighter. Obviously,
I got a funny feeling here for some reason. I'm not making any bold claims. But I've got a funny feeling. Maybe we get it maybe a little closer than what everybody's expecting.
I mean, she pointed out to Jermaine Duran to me and what she did. I mean, she kind of pushed Amanda farther and deeper into waters than anyone expected. I actually wouldn't be surprised if this one isn't the kind of mismatch that people think that we're used to seeing. But getting a victory even in that or winning rounds, that's a different story. Another beautiful title fight on this main card is Petr Yan defending his bantamweight championship in 15-1 record against Aljamain Sterling in 19-3. Tim, size this one up with Sterling and Yan both being at -110 last I saw. What do you think about that?
Man, it's a really good fight. A fight we've been, kind of yearning for a moment. Mm-hmm. The pick'em line is spot on. It's a really hard fight to call, man. I would probably lean towards Petr Yan here, just because he's so good. He produces so much volume out there. First off, so I think in the standing exchanges, he's going to really be a lot more active than Sterling. Sterling really wants to get him to the ground if he can. But Yan, I've found an interesting stat, has never been taken down from the clinch ever. And so, Sterling would have to probably shoot from range to be able to get a takedown on Yan, and that's maybe unlikely. So if we get a standing affair, then I think Yan kind of lights him up and gets a 5-round decision. I lean towards Yan, but it's a coin toss fight. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised either way. It's a really well-matched fight. Sterling's hungry. You got to take that into account as well.
Man, that's a great stat. Never been taken down from the clinch. Here's the thing. If anyone's going to do it, it's Aljamain Sterling.
He's certainly going to want to try. Yeah. Right.
You know him. People have joked about him being a backpack because he can get on your back so quick. And I think that's where we'll see the fight. Yes, if it's a stand-up game, then Yan has the advantage. But Sterling has a way of dictating where the fight takes place. I would go with Sterling here. It's probably going to go the distance, probably close, and maybe it'll be a controversial type of decision. Or maybe Sterling ends up getting a sub finish. But even though Yan is a fantastic fighter, and he's earned my respect more and more every time I've seen him, the hunger, the wrestling ability of Sterling, he's like Oliveira in constantly being undersold, and that chip on his shoulder carries over. So I would go with him in that. But man, it's so much fun. All right, real quick on the main card, you got Islam Makhachev, 15-1. He's 14th ranked lightweight against Drew Dober, the 15th ranked lightweight at 19-3. Another former opponent of Hot Toss Holtzman. We'll have more on him in our lightning round. Makhachev is a -350 favorite. What do you think of this one?
Really interesting fight. You know, Khabib says that Makhachev is going to be at the top of the division by the end of the year. That's, Khabib is his coach, his main training partner. And he says that, all these guys at the top of the division, your Gaethjes, your Connors, your Dustins, this guy's better than all of them. Drew Dober, man, he's coming in hot. You know, he's with that elevation fight team. Gaethje over there, he's really kind of turned a corner in his career. He's got awesome scrambling abilities and carries power, knockout power. So he's going to have to keep Makhachev off of him, which is easier said than done. But Makhachev at -300 is a little steep because I think Dober is very live. He's going to be hard to just hold down like he does to most of his opponents. And I think Dober's fought a much higher level of opponent so far than Makhachev. So I'd maybe side with the dog at +300, but it's certainly tough action.
Great lightweight bout there. Light heavyweight bout. How about this? Second ranked Thiago Santos at 21-8 against fourth ranked Alexander Rakic at 13-2. Rakic at -155. Last I saw, Tim, size this one up.
This is actually kind of an important fight for both of these guys. It's flying a little low on the radar.
Yeah.
Well, Santos really needs a win here. It's been a minute now since Thiago Santos has gotten a win. Now he's been fighting the best. So, you know, he wants to get a win here and get back to fighting the top ranked guys. For Rakic, this is a big step up from the guys he's been fighting. He's broken into the top 10 now, I believe. And so a win here would get him up close to the top five. So interesting fight as far as the breakdown goes. Santos has got to is wanting to be landing big power. You know, he's got that knockout power. Rakic is going to want to get him to the ground. Wear him out over the course of three rounds and hopefully get a decision or a late TKO. Hard call, but I'll go Rockage.
Well, it just speaks to the depth on the card, why this one is getting overlooked a little bit.
This could be a fight night main event.
Yep, I agree with you. Another example of the depth in this card is the feature on the prelims. Dominic Cruz is on the prelims. I mean, what in the world is going on?
Now, speaking of fights that could be a main event.
Exactly. Now, look, I know Dominic is on the back end of his career. He's more of an announcer these days than a fighter, and he's not at the peak of his career. But, man, he's still effective and entertaining. 11th-ranked bantamweight at 22-3 against Casey Kenney, you know, on the move at 16-2-1, trying to get into those rankings.
Man, I'm excited for this one. This is going to be kind of the one that lets us know, is Casey Kenney, is he a contender? You know, right. Casey Kenney is a guy that, there's no secret, I'm high on this guy.
Right.
But I think that still Cruz may be a level ahead. The footwork is going to be something that Kenney hasn't really experienced yet. And I think the lateral movement was going to allow Cruz to pick him apart over three rounds, get a decision. But if Casey Kenney can pull it off, it's a huge win, a huge feather in his cap. But yeah, I'm going to go with Dominic Cruz in this one. But I'm really excited for it.
Kenney actually a slight favorite at minus 135, right?
Yes, he is. I think there's great value on Cruz.
Kyler Phillips at 8-1, taking on Song Yadong, the 14th-ranked bantamweight, at 16-4-1. Yadong at minus 150.
Another great fight. You know, Song Yadong undefeated in the UFC, 5 wins so far. And he's kind of like he's like the last bastion of hope for Alpha Male right now. You know, he's like their guy right now. He's carrying the torch. And, you know, Kyler Phillips, a very hyped prospect. He was on The Ultimate Fighter, explosive. But I think Yadong is probably going to have the more powerful punches in the exchanges. And I think he rolls, but it isn't really exciting. This is a fight of the night sleeper.
Another veteran on the prelims, second-ranked flyweight, still second-ranked flyweight, Joseph Benavidez at 28-7 against Askar Askarov, unbeaten at 13-0-1. Askarov at minus 130. What do you think about this one?
Question is Joe B done? Is he shot? And have these last two bad finishes to Figueiredo done him in? Askarov, I think, typically I would pick Joe B over Askarov just because he beats guys like this regularly. But if Joe B is, if he's not training like he was and is kind of the writing's on the wall, he's not going to be a world champion now, then Askarov is the rising star. I'm going to say Joe B's got one more good win in him. And he pulls this off when everybody's written him off, pulls it off, and possibly retires after.
Wow. Staying in the flyweight division, because there's three straight flyweight bouts on this card, which is interesting because sometimes they tend to space those out, at least in the order last seen, they're not going to. And Kaikara France at 21-9, taking on Rogerio Bontorin. Both of them are tied at 8th in the flyweight division UFC rankings, which you don't often see ties in those rankings. No. What do you think of this one?
This is a really hard one to call. I think Kaikara France will be who the public likes because he's a city kickboxing guy. You know, he's got his teammate on the card, Adesanya. But, you know, Kaikara France hasn't really been rolling that good lately, and Bontorin's very tough. I think that Bontorin potentially is able to get him to the ground and grind a decision. So I'll probably go with Bontorin here, but another really close fight.
Yeah, France minus 145, slight favorite. By the way, the early prelims start at 6 o'clock. That'll be on UFC Fight Pass. Then the prelims will be at 8 o'clock, both on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And then the main card on pay-per-view on ESPN Plus starting at 10 p.m. So make plans for that. Early prelims on the UFC Fight Pass. We got a couple of ranked fighters on the early.
They're really good prospects on the early prelims.
I mean, just so stacked. Love this card. Another flyaway bout, Tim Elliott, 16-11-1 against Jordan Espinosa at 15-8. Quick word on that one.
You know, Elliott has kind of had a little bit of a resurgence. He moved back to glory with James Krause and really seems to turn things around. I think he's a little too multifaceted here for Espinosa, who is very athletic, but I've not really been too sold on him.
Espinosa at -130 favorite.
There. I like some underdogs here, Vince.
Yeah, you do. That's right. You are pointing some out. Carlos Olberg, we'll see if you go to an underdog here, 3-0. He's -245 against Kennedy Zinchukwa at 7-1 in a light heavyweight bout. Who's your pick here?
Man, I'm not going with the underdog here. I can't go with Kennedy in any fights. If you've watched this guy, his body looks like $1 million. He is just, you know, a Greek god out there. But he's his fight IQ is lacking. He's kind of slow and lumbering. And I think Olberg is going to be the guy that they're really trying to push here. Good kickboxer from City Kickboxing. So I think the price is a little long, but I like Olberg.
This might be one of the guys you're talking about. Sean Brady at 13-0,
yeah,
taking on Jake Matthews at 17-4. Welterweight bout, Brady at -225.
Man, this is a really good fight to be buried so low. Sean Brady undefeated, like you said, 13-0. They're really high on him. He's a very solid prospect. Jake Matthews, Australian prospect, still young at 26 years old. He's won 6 out of 7. I think with the underdog price on Matthews, he's certainly live because these guys are very similar style. This should be closer to a pick 'em.
Yeah, imagine Megan Anderson rooting for Jake Matthews. Women's strawweight bout. You got 15th ranked Lavinia Souza at 14-2, taking on Amanda Lemos at 8-1-1. Lemos at -200. What do you think of this one?
At first glance, I kind of like the price on the underdog here with Souza, but I don't think I can go that way. She just hasn't been able to look that good in the fights that I've seen her in. She seems to get overpowered. I think Lemos probably gets it done. This is one of the few fights that I'm not as excited about.
Another undefeated fighter, Yurosh Medic at 6-0, taking on Alan Cruz at 8-3 in a lightweight bout. Medic at -165.
Yeah, this is another interesting one. You know, Medic comes off that Alaska scene, so his record is very suspect, but he looked really good on the Contender Series, and he's got a great mustache. You know, I think that Alon Cruz, though, is a really nice prospect that, you know, he gets overlooked because he got beat by Spike Carlisle, but I actually like Cruz here as the underdog. I think that he's just fought a much higher level of competition.
And then what's slated to be the initial fight, Trevin Jones at 12-6 against Mario Bautista at 8-1 in a bantamweight bout, Bautista at -240.
Well, Trevin Jones was a big underdog against Timur Valiyev a while back for his debut, and he got the come from behind knockout victory. But I think it's going to be tough against Bautista here. Bautista's really good, solid prospect, and I expect him to roll.
And Trevin Jones was originally supposed to fight Randy Costa, but Costa had to back out because of injury. So Bautista steps in his place. That is our preview of UFC 259 MMA Lightning Round presented by Knoxville Martial Arts Academy with more on some upcoming fights announced, including a local UFC fighter. We'll tell you all about it next here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. It's lightning round time, and it's presented by KMAA. They offer classes for children in self-defense, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. From the in-depth training at KMAA, many students have catapulted themselves into professional careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They'll help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9775 or visit their website at knoxmma.com, located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike in Knoxville. Speaking of KMAA, Emily King going to fight this weekend, Tim.
Yeah, she's going to be on UFC Fight Pass on the Icon Fighting Federation show, which is Friday night, and she's fighting a girl named Kayla Jaracho. So, check it out. Go in.
Yep, absolutely. UFC Fight Night, the next one that we will see, I guess it's 21, will be Leon Edwards against Bilal Muhammad, who's in for Chimaev. And Chimaev, he posted on Instagram that he was stepping away from the sport, and then I guess he's been reeled back in, Tim?
Dana White said he got on the line with him and talked him back down to earth. And I guess that, like, the Chechenian president or what have you also had a had a hand in that.
Wow. Yeah. Unbelievable. I guess when you have celebrity status, those kind of things will happen. So the next pay-per-view is not that far away. It's UFC 260, Miocic Ngannou 2. Plus on that card, Alexander Volkanovski against Brian Ortega, another title fight on there. So that should be a lot of fun. And then, Tim, we're going to see Hot Sauce. He's had a fight added for UFC Fight Night coming up.
Yeah, he's got a really good one coming up against a Polish prospect, Matusz Gamrot, who is 18-1, man. He's a KSW, a two-division champion, really hot prospect. So it's been a minute since we've seen Hot Sauce, you know, fighting one of the up-and-comers. He's been fighting the vets up until this point. So it'll be interesting to see if he can derail the up-and-comer.
And that'll be Saturday, April 10th on the Till versus Vettori UFC Fight Night. So be sure to check that out. Then after that, you got UFC 261. We already knew about Shevchenko versus Andrade. That was recently announced. What else has been added to that that's really interesting, Tim?
Wiley Zhang defending that strawweight championship against Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose. And so you can kind of see they're, you know, bringing those two fights together and see what happens.
I love that those two fights are together on the same card. We'll see if that's sort of a theme that they add with contenders throughout the rest of the card in those divisions. UFC 262, that still is to be filled out for Saturday, May 15th. And then don't forget, April 2nd, it's the return of Bellator with 255 on Showtime. And then PFL will return for 2021 number one from Vegas on April 23rd. Tim, always fun. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week, sir.
Always a blast, Vince. Thank you.
That is Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrara. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, In the Cage MMA Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to us each week here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly